I am so excited that God gives us His Word to bring into any situation. He doesn't push it on us, but so that we can get God's perspective on things. And we need that perspective, because if we don't have it, then we will experiment, or we will just take anybody's saying, maybe because they're smarter, or they have more degrees, or they have more money, or they have more power. I think that when we hear God's perspective, then we can say amen. Let's do as Joshua says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We're excited for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. But those who are online and listening to our services, we pray God's blessings upon your household and whatever your needs are, that they might be supplied in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. This is also a celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday. He was a good Christian, a good Baptist, and Lord, he always lifted up the little people, those that did not have. And he challenged us to share whatever we had. And so, Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for the new president. Our new president, who will be coming into office on tomorrow, and all of the other senators and House of Representatives who will start their jobs. Lord, we pray that they will work together, the House and the Senate and the President and the Supreme Court, so that everybody can at least have the basic things of life. I know that that's not too much to ask for from you, because you've got 1,000 hills with all of the cattle on them. And so, Lord, we put it in your hands and we trust you. I just want to also say, Lord, I thank you for the Living Hope Fellowship. As we are in this beautiful community where there is no other church but us, help us to carry the Word of God through Jesus Christ into the highways and the byways. This is our Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you where I'm going this morning. I don't usually do that, but I'm going to be preaching from Luke 16, for those of you that like to look in your Bible, it will be up here. But the reason why I'm telling you is because usually my biggest job, as I showed you last week in preaching matters, is to look for what is the main idea that God was saying in the text. Because the text meaning doesn't change. Whatever he said then is the same truth now. And I don't want to ever preach anything or teach anything other than the truth of what God says. But I discovered something in this particular text in Luke 16. It is connected to 15, where it talks about lostness in terms of the bigger context. In other words, you're going to see two people here. And the reason why I'm sharing this is that I don't want you to make any mistake. There are two people here. One is very rich, and the other one is very poor. The very poor person goes to heaven, and the very rich person goes to the other place, hell. The reason why I want to make plain here is that from the larger context, people don't go to hell because they're rich. People go to hell because they don't know and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I need to make that very plain to you and to others that may be listening today. This is not about money or not about not having money. It's about not having Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life. So I want to talk to you this morning about hell. I want to talk to you about hell this morning. And the Bible says, and the Bible means, that there is only one of two places. And hell is a place, just like heaven is a place. There are one of two places that you can end up in your life and in my life. The Bible says and means that there's going to come a time when there is hardship for 7 years. Now, is that a literal 7 years? I don't know. But in terms of if there is going to be tough times, how many of you feel you're in tough times right now? Okay, it's a couple of them. So we might be in a tribulation. I don't know. There are some who says it's not a literal 7 years, but the tribulation means that it's tough times. During that tough time, there are many who believe that the church is going to be raptured. Well, if you believe that the church is not going to be here, and if you believe that this is the tribulation, then obviously we haven't been raptured. We're still here. So there may be a problem for you here. And that's okay. We're just talking about what the scripture says about this notion of where one can end up. It is also a time when Jesus will come back. Just like, how many of you believe that Jesus came over 2,000 years ago? Yeah, there's about five of you that do. No, there's more than that in here that do. Well, there is a second coming of Jesus. Now, well, what will that mean? Well, that means that the tribulation will end and 1,000 years will begin. So there's an order here. Tribulation, tough time. Church either be here, church may not be here. But Jesus will come back and there'll be 1,000 years of peace and harmony. You can go to Walmart and get a steak for $10 or less. I don't know. But it'll be a good time of plenty. And there won't be any evil in the world operating. Satan will be locked away somewhere. This is what the Bible says. So I don't know what anybody else says about what the future prospect. I don't know what the stock market says about the future prospect. I don't know about any of that, but I do know what the Bible says, and that Jesus is coming back, and that there is going to be some things set in place. But what are those things that's going to be set in place? There's going to be a final rebellion. In other words, they're going to be, Satan will be let out of the pit, but there will be others that will join. They will think that this is the one to follow, the final rebellion. There'll be a final great judgment. And of course, who is the judge? Jesus is the judge. That's right. He's going to judge us. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. Now, you might say, well, what about for us as Christians? Are we going to be judged again here? Absolutely not. We have already been judged. There is no more condemnation. That has all been passed away. So the final judgment for us is over. There will be eternity. What is eternity? Eternity is where you go forever and ever and ever. Either heaven or either hell. And I'm just going to call, I know that this lake of fire in the scripture is, probably not as well known to people as hell is. So I'm just going to call the whole thing hell. Is that all right? In other words, hell is the place where God doesn't go. All right, we'll just leave it like that. In other words, you made your decision. You made your point of reference. This, I don't care about going to this is where I'm going to be. I'm going to be with all the folks that didn't want to follow Jesus, and that includes Satan, the Antichrist, who is a political leader, and a false prophet, who is a religious leader. So there's not the two places that I can go. So let's go out again. Eternity, either go to heaven or either go to hell. Am I clear here? From Scripture, there is no option three. There is no option four. There is no, well, I'll just stay here. No, you either go and be with Jesus or you go and you're without Jesus, which is hell. So this morning, I want to talk about what in hell do you want? Now, let's be clear. I didn't use the article, the, what the hell. Some people use that. I don't think that's a good, proper way to talk to people. But I am using a preposition, which is a place. What is it in hell that you want? There's not but two choices. There's not but two decisions that you can make here. If you came in here this morning and you don't know where your eternity is going to be, there's only two places. So it's not very complicated. It's not real hazy. As a matter of fact, it's not hazy at all. Why would I choose to go someplace where Jesus is not? Why would I choose to go someplace where God never visits? And the question remains, what? Y'all want me to sit down? What in hell do you want? We're going to be looking again from Luke 16, 19 through 31. And this is, I believe, a great teaching text. Because what it does is it shows us some of the things that we desire so much, but you won't find them in hell. And here they go. Here's the background. Luke 16, 19. There was a rich man. Remember I told you there's two individuals that are the primary characters here. One is rich, one is poor. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar, and they give his name. He was Lazarus, and he was covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, I've heard people preach this sermon, and they have really kind of made that a soothing statement, you know, the dogs that come. I guess it would be. If you like a dog, I like dogs, and they lick you in the face and so on. But dog licks are not very clean. So you need to understand that this was not a clean act right here. That's all that he had. Am I making sense to you? That's all that he had. So five things that you won't find. Five things that you won't find that I think all of us won't, that you won't find in hell. Number one, you won't find, there's no time in hell. There's no time in hell. There's no time in hell. Luke 16, 22 says, the time came. You know, with God, that's always, Olga, very true, isn't it? That I don't care what we do when we say, God, I don't have time for you. God, I can't get with you. God, I can't go and help during the church cleaning, even though Deacon Thomas has been calling me on the phone. But the time came when there is no more time. The time came. Do y'all hear me? When there is no more second chance. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Remember, I don't believe he goes to Abraham's side or the suggestion of going to heaven. Because he's poor, but he goes to heaven because somewhere along the line, even a poor person, we learned today in Bible study, the rich and the small, the big and the great, Jesus accepts everybody. The black, the white, the brown, the yellow, the Latina, the female, the male. Jesus expects and respects them all. That's how you get to go to Abraham's side. That's how you get to go to heaven. But you can also get to go to hell. The rich man also died. The time came. Deacon Brenda, the time came. You in here, each and every one of you, I don't care how cute you are, I don't care how young you are, the time will come when you'll look like me. That's right. And you'll start judging your life not so much on how much time I have, but how much time I don't have. The time. The time. The time is going to come when there is no more time. There's two words for time in the Bible. One is chronos, and it's part time. The other word is kairos, which means due season. You know, it's like when you get holes. I know today young people, you all wear clothes with holes in. Some of you, I don't see the ones young people here so much wearing holes with in your pants and so forth. But if I wore holes in my pants, my mother said, we got to go take you to the store and get you. We got to go to Walmart and get you some pants, because it's time. Well, time is over in hell. Time is over. You won't find time anymore. There is no, do I get one more chance? Can I get one more opportunity? No, time is over. There's no peace in hell. There's no peace in hell. How many of you like peace? I tell you, if you're over 60 years old, you love peace. I'm serious. And if you're married, you love peace even more. I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. We'll do whatever you say, just so we can have some peace. There's two words for peace in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. And when they would see other people coming, many times they would say shalom. That meant that there was no fighting going on, because they were always fighting some other people, the Hittites, the Jebusites. In the New Testament, the word for peace is irene. Blessed are the peacemakers. Irene poios. Blessed are those who make peace. Like those, you know the people who make good cake, don't you? You know the people who make good lunch. You know the people who make good barbecue. Well, he says, blessed, happy are the peacemakers, those who go and make peace. They make peace in their home. They make peace in the church. They make peace in the community. They are the peacemakers. Oh, how beautiful are the feet. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Of those who follow the Prince of Peace. But there's no peace in hell. Do y'all hear me? There's no more time in hell, and there's no more peace in hell. You know, I come from an Afro-American background. My people were brought here from Africa on boats, and little cramped in the little boats and so forth. And there are many people who have that same religious, not same religious, but same DNA. And they have no peace, because when they look back on their history, it bothers them. I am glad that I can say this morning that God has reconciled me. I don't hate nobody. Y'all don't hear me. Yes, I came from a tough situation. I experienced apartheid in this country in my life, but I don't hate nobody. Why is that? Because I have peace that surpasses all understanding. That's right. I can love my brothers and sisters, even though we may be different than one another, because I've got peace like a river that surpasses all understanding. There are many people that have no peace that are Jews because of the Holocaust. There are many people that have no peace, the Native Americans, because of the Trail of Tears. There are many people, again, who are African American because they're descendants came over on ships, cramped like sardines, and they have no peace. There are many Vietnamese that have no peace because of the killing fields and what happened over there. There are many that don't have peace because of conflicts between or genocides between one racial group and another group in Africa, the Tutsis and the Hutus. There are many people who have had natural disasters like we had in Hurricane Katrina. They'll say, I'll never go back to New Orleans because of what happened to me. I say to you, I thank God that when he cures your heart of what happened in the past and he says, I'm doing a new thing, you get peace. You get peace that is beyond all understanding. In Luke 16:23, it says, in hell, where he was in torment, talking about the rich man, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He was in torment. He didn't have torment when he was here on earth, but it's something about hell where he was in torment. I went to a wedding. Cheryl and I went to a wedding. It was several years ago. The associational director at our church, his daughter got married, and it was in Phoenix, Arizona. And it was in July or August. And it was 120 degrees. I'd never experienced 120 degrees. But I experienced, it was hot as. And I said to myself, I'm not coming back here. It's too hot. It was hot everywhere. It was against the law to walk your dog. It was so hot. Torment. Well, I am sure that the people that live there, there must come a time when the weather is better. Because I have lived in places where there was a lot of snow. And people say, I don't want that either. I'm just simply saying that most of us do realize that better can come. No matter how hard things are, no matter how difficult things are, that better can come. And especially if you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness here? That I'm so glad trouble don't last always. That's all I'm saying. But in hell, trouble lasts always. In hell, torment lasts always. In hell, there is no peace always. And so he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Because I am in agony in this place. No peace. No birthdays. No, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a good time. No, this is going to all be over. We're going to wake up and things are going to be different. It's going to be a little bit better. Not even a whole lot better necessarily, but just a little bit better, Cheryl. But no, that never comes. Why? Because there's no peace. There's no peace in hell. Number three, there's no memory loss in hell. There's no memory loss in hell. Verse 25, but Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime, remember in your life, remember in your lifetime, you receive your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here and you're in. Remember, you see, the beautiful thing about memory is that we can put the bad stuff in the back of our minds. How many of you have done some bad things? Raise your hand. Okay, about three of you. Yeah, and you know, for most of us, I thank God that that's not the main thing at the front of my mind every day. And I've not been a saint all of my life. I've never been a saint, as a matter of fact. But I've done some things that I'm not so proud of. But I thank God that I don't have to remember them every day. And there are some people that I've hurt that I can't go back to now. There's some people that I've done some things that I can't go back to now and say I'm sorry. But I thank God that memory does allow me to put it to the back and I can go on with a brighter day. I had a deacon in our former church who was a sweet man from Mississippi, and his wife had Alzheimer's. I don't know if you know what Alzheimer's is, but a lot of people my age and older, I see now, have Alzheimer's and dementia, where they're losing their memory. And the thing about it with her is, and Cheryl will verify this, the whole time we would visit, and we love to go visit when we were doing ministry and younger, we'd love to go and visit home. He couldn't sit down the whole time because she was up and moving all the time. And if he took his eyes off of her, she would be out of the house and somewhere out in the street because she didn't remember. And she would have whatever she had on, she would just be gone. Whatever she was doing, she would just be gone because her memory was not the same. Well, this man remembered everything. This man, and I bet you it was more than just the fact that I put all of my hope in my stuff. You know, some folks would rather have houses and land. Some folks choose silver and gold. This man chose those things, but that was not what I think was the most important thing that he remembered. But he remembered, I never said, Lord, help me. I never said, Lord, be the king of my life. I never said, Lord, I want you versus all of these things. I'd rather have Jesus as my choice. I'm sure every day, every moment of every day, he said to himself, if I could have just said that one little thing, if I could have just said that one little thing, it would have helped me to not be in this place. I am reminded of how silly I was. And excuse my language, stupid I was by not accepting the very gift of God. I wanted the money. I wanted the house. I wanted the land. I wanted all of that. And it didn't do what I wanted most of all, and that was to be at a place where there was peace and there was rest forever. You see, there's no memory loss. So every day, I've got to pay for that. There are no bridges in hell. There are no bridges in hell. This is for the young people in here. If you want to ever get out of a bad spot in life financially, get a better job. Don't look for somebody to give you something. Don't look for somebody to bail you out. That may happen, but don't look for it. The way to do it is to continue to get your education and climb the ladder. At the bottom of every place you want to go, I couldn't care if it's to be a physician or to be a lawyer or to be an engineer. At the bottom of every one of them, there is a ladder. And God has put it there and has removed all of the laws so we don't have any excuses. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. Climb the ladder and live out your dreams. That is your bridge. Can I get a witness here? That is your bridge over troubled waters to get to wherever it is God has put into your heart to be and to go. Don't rely on somebody giving you something. Don't rely on some angel coming and stirring the waters and you being the first one to jump in and then you have a miracle. I'm not saying that God can't do miracles. I'm just simply saying God has already made a way for you. He's put the ladder there and can't nobody take your ladder away but you. But if you go to hell, there's no bridges there. There's no ladder out. There is no secret trap door. He says, and besides all this, between us and you, this is Abraham talking to the rich man, which is Abraham is speaking in behalf of God. There's a great chasm. In other words, there's a great divide that has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anybody. I couldn't even imagine being in heaven and wanting to go down the hill, but they can't. We can't cross either. Nobody can cross. Why? Because there's no bridges. There's no ladders. There's no secret door. There's no secret tunnel. There's no way. A lady on Good Friday went to the store. She wanted to buy a cross. You know the crosses that you wear on your neck as jewelry. And she told the man, I'd like to buy a cross. And the man brought the cross out, and he brought the cross, and it was Good Friday. It had Jesus on the cross. She said, oh, no, I don't want that cross. I want the cross where the man's not on it. Because, you see, the cross reminds me with the man of so much pain. When you look into his face, you can see the agony there. When you look at him, you see the nails in his hands. When you look at him, you see the nails in his feet. When you look at him, you see that crown on his head, and it's just too much for me to take. I don't want the cross with the man on it. And the man who owned the store said, it's Good Friday. We don't sell crosses with the man off of it on Good Friday. Good Friday is when Jesus went to the cross for you. He's your bridge. He's your way out. Can I get a witness here? He's the only way out. As a matter of fact, he says, I am the way himself. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except they come through me. I am your bridge. I don't care how great the chasm is. I don't care if the chasm is color. I don't care if the chasm is gender. I don't care if the chasm is finances. I don't care if the chasm is whatever it is. You can be the worst person in the world. Jesus is the bridge. If you want to come to the Father, then you can get there through the Son. And there is no other way. But there's no bridge in hell. If you get to hell, there is no bridge. And so if there is no bridge, then there is no Jesus. I can't imagine that, Marisol, to be in a place where there is no hope. I can't imagine that, a place where Jesus never visits. I can't imagine that. You know, I didn't just fumble here. I didn't just stumble here. It's very clear I'm here because I rejected. And I didn't just reject you testifying to me. I didn't just reject that little church here in Lafayette who has been preaching and teaching for the last 50 or 75 years. I'm here because of me. I'm here because the Holy Spirit, who convicts us that Jesus is the only way, I said no. There's no Jesus in hell. You may find some other names, and I'm not going to name some of the names of the great religious leaders that people follow today, or the great political leaders that people follow today, or there are going to be a lot of people in hell. You might as well say amen. A lot of people you don't expect going to be there. And there is a hell. But you won't find Jesus in hell. Listen to the words of God in this text right here in 27 through 31. and you will see Jesus. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. Not for me, but for my brothers now. I have five brothers. They bad as they can be. But if somebody could just go talk to them, like you talking to me, let him warn them so that they will not. Send Lazarus. You know, the one that I wouldn't feed, the one that I didn't give any pork and beans to at all, the one that I didn't give any of my old clothes. I took him over there to the Goodwill, but I didn't give any to old Lazarus. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. You know, you can say what you want to, but when your children or your siblings are in trouble, you hurt for them. Can I get a witness? You pain for, matter of fact, for some of you, you would rather take their place, wouldn't you? I know we would. Many times. He says, can you let Lazarus go so that they don't end up here? And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, the rich man said, but if someone from the dead, oh, y'all won't hear me, goes to them, they will repent. Someone who's been resurrected. Someone who knows what it's like to see hell and to know how bad it is to be without God in your life. Someone who has been separated because they took the sins of the whole world on their shoulders and said, Father, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. In other words, there's always going to be folk. Can I get a witness? Did Jesus rise from the dead? He is the first of the ones I know. But there are folk who deny him right now today. What in hell do you want? Let me close. Those are beautiful words, right? Because you know it's the end. And that's fine. But I think you got my point. Because what in hell do you want? For those of you who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what in hell do you want? There is no time. There is no peace. There is no memory loss. There is no bridge. There is no Jesus. I got one last illustration. Two bull bears, a father and a son, were laying on the iceberg and just enjoying the sun, laying on that ice. And a little polar bear boy said to his daddy, he said, Daddy, am I 100% polar bear? And the polar bear dad said, yeah, of course you're 100% polar bear. Look at you. You look just like me. A few minutes went by and he said, Daddy, are you sure I'm 100% polar bear? And daddy looked at him and said, look here, son, your mama's 100% polar bear. I'm 100% polar bear. You are 100% polar bear. He looked at him again. He said, Daddy, are you real sure I'm 100% polar bear? And the father looked at him and said, son, why do you keep asking me, are you 100%? Am I 100% sure you're polar bear? He said, Daddy, because I'm freezing. If you're not 100% sure, hear me. If you're not 100% sure that I'm in relationship with Jesus, because this is not about polar bears. And he might have had some black bear in him. You know, he might have had some brown bear. He might have had some grizzly in him. I don't know. But the boy said, I'm freezing. If you're not sure, I challenge you today to make that decision. We're going to have some counselors that are going to come up here. And I'll be up here. And we'll help you to understand there's nothing in hell that you want. Can I get a witness? There's no time in hell. There's no peace in hell. There's no memory loss in hell. There's no bridges in hell. There's no Jesus in hell. What in hell do I want? Nothing. Nothing. Stand to your feet. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come. And I'm going to ask you to make a decision, the biggest decision you will ever make in your life. In your life.